Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fourth and final Sunday of the blessed month of Kiak, and the Gospel of today tells us about the birth of John the Baptist. And at the end of the Gospel reading, it tells us that Saint John the Baptist went to the desert and dwelt there until the days of his manifestation to Israel. So he spent some time there in the desert. Now, God had a certain plan for Saint John. And in order for this plan to be accomplished, not just John the Baptist had to submit to God, but also his parents. Imagine if, you know, our child wanted to say we were going to go to live in the desert at a young age. Many of us may reject that even when they're older and they tell us and come tell us that they want to go to the monastery and become monks. It's like the end of the world has come as we know it, and you know they stay upset for a very long time. But Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Saint John the Baptist all submitted to God and his direction in their life. And if we look at the saints of the church, most of them, if not all of them, have possessed this quality of submitting to God and allowing him to arrange their life. Saint Peter, the apostle, left his family, his wife and his children, and went to go minister. And God took care of them and took care of Saint Peter, and everything was arranged accordingly. If you look at a saint like Saint Abanub, who was just a young boy when he was martyred, you know, he allowed God to work in him and did not, his fears or anything didn't hinder him from professing his faith before the emperor and rulers, and he did it with great zeal and courage. So submitting to God is a quality that is much needed in all of our lives today. The first point that I like to speak about is what are some of the prerequisites to submit to God? What do we have to know or understand before we can say, okay, God, here's my life, put it in your hands and do with it as you like? The first is we have to know and understand that God, our Heavenly Father, loves us. He came for us and to die for us, so he loves us. It says in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you." So God's telling us that we are precious in his sight. Sometimes we may look at ourselves and say, you know, I'm worthless, I'm nothing, I'm a loser, like Abuna was saying yesterday. We might say anything about ourselves. And maybe some other people might come to us and say, you know, you're a loser, you're no good, you're a failure, and so on. But God is telling us today that we are precious in his sight. We're very precious to him. And, you know, it really is, you know, there's a nice saying here that says the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And this is very true. The beholder here is God, who God sees each one of us as being very pure and precious. There's a story of a boy who wanted to get engaged. So his parents brought many of the girls from the local church, and every time they would bring somebody, he would say, "Nope, that's not the one. No, I don't like her for this reason. She doesn't do this. I don't like her for that reason." So all the girls he rejected. So then one day he went to a neighboring city, and he said, "I'm going to go, you know, find a wife there." So he goes to the neighboring city and he finds a wife. And he invited his friends and family to his house so they can introduce, you know, the girl to his friends and family. And then they sat and talked and everything. And after the dinner or whatever, she left and he came to his friends and family and said, "So what do you think?" And they came and they said, "Best to, hey, yeah, her, she has long, you know, this color hair. Oh, she has this color. Oh, look how short she is. Oh, look, Mishadef is. She's this, this, this." And they gave him a list of things that they didn't like about her. But he told them, "You know why you guys see all of these bad things? Is because you don't see her with my eye." So he sees her as being pure and holy and perfect, but other people don't. And this is how God looks at us. He looks at every one of us as if we are pure and holy and precious to Him. So precious that He gave His only Son to die for us. So God loves us with so much, and you know, we shouldn't worry about what other people might think about us, or even maybe what we think of ourselves. So we have to know when we submit our lives to God that He loves us. The second, we have to know that He's wise, that He kind of knows what He's doing. Some may say, okay, I know God loves me, but you know, sometimes He allows things that seem bad to happen in my life. Sometimes He allows me to get hurt. So we know that He loves us, but we're not understanding what His wisdom is. But we have to understand that God is all-knowing. And to Him, there is no such thing as time. He sees all of our life before Him. If you remember in the book of Genesis, in the days of creation, the second day where He created the, or He split the waters above the heaven and the waters beneath the heaven, the Bible doesn't record for us that this was good. He didn't say that, you know, this day was good. Why? Maybe because God foresaw that the waters that are going to be above the heaven will one day flood the earth and kill some of His own creation. So He didn't call this good. So God, in His foreknowledge and in His wisdom, He knew that this day wouldn't be called a good day because of what would happen in the future. So we have to trust in God, knowing that He is the arranger of all, He's loving, and He is wisdom. He knows what He's doing. The third is we have to know that God is powerful. He's able. Some may say that, okay, I think maybe some external forces can maybe hinder God's work in my life. Some may say, you know, my boss or my teacher are atheists, so how is God going to work in them or do anything in them? There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, who has measured, he's speaking about God, who has measured the waters in the halo of His hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who has done these things except for God? Or who can do these things except for God? Surely we can't weigh a mountain. And God in His divine arrangement, we look at when God arranges things, it works in a manner that's almost flawless and perfect. If you look at the stars in heaven, the moon, the galaxy, everything is revolving around itself and is contained, and I don't know how rare it is for stars to collide with one another, but it's quite rare. But then when we look at stuff that we do, you look at just outside, you look at the streets, you know, the traffic lights go on and off, and all we have to do is, if it's red, we stop, and if it's green, we go, and if it's yellow, we don't speed up, we slow down. If we do all these things, it's supposed to prevent us from hitting one another. But we still hit one another with, I think it's probably one of the leading causes of death in this country. So when God arranges things, it arranges things almost perfectly. But when we try to arrange things for ourselves, we end up بنخبط في بعض, or we just run into each other. And if you look at the arrangement of the life of Moses, Pharaoh ordered a decree that all the people or all the children should be killed. So Moses' mother took him, and with complete submission to God, she put him in the river and said, you know, God will take care of this child, but I'm not going to let them kill him. So she put him in the river. So the soldiers should have killed him. Two, you know, who would ever think about putting their child on a river in a basket and floating him down the river? Nobody. Either the animals will kill him or he'll drown, something. So he was bound to death. And then what happened? By God's grace, he made it to Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh's daughter took him in. Now this is Pharaoh's daughter whose father gave the decree to kill all the children. So she too should have gave him the child to her father and had him killed. But through God's divine plan, His divine economy, none of this happened. And he grew to be a deliverer and a savior for the people of Israel. So when we submit our life to God, or one of the prerequisites, we have to understand that God is love, we have to understand that God is wise, He knows what He's doing, and we have to understand that God is powerful and that He can arrange all things. So how do we submit our lives to God? How do we do that? The first is by prayer. Before any issue, large or small, we should be offering a prayer to God. And before we go out in the morning, before we take an exam, before, we begin our work, we should do everything. And, we should pray always. I know a doctor who, before he would see every patient, he would sit and he would pray with the doctor. Regardless if they were a Christian or not, he would pray for the patient. So he doesn't care. And he sees God's work is what is going to sustain him and grant him success. Whether the person in front of him is a believer or not, he does it anyways. So before everything that we do, we should offer a prayer. And sometimes God will wait to the last minute to answer our prayers. You know, if you look, we spoke before about Elizabeth and Zechariah when they asked for a child. He waited until they're very old and before, almost when it was impossible for, he gave them a child. But he gave it to them. He answered their prayer. And if we look at Abraham, God told Abraham to leave your father and your family and go to a land that I will show you. He didn't ask many questions. He just did it, following, submitting his life to God, knowing that God is able and willing to take care of him. Why does God sometimes wait to the last minute to hear our prayers? Because he wants us to ask him what's next. When we ask him what's next, that's our prayer. God, okay, I applied for this university. What's next? God, I didn't get in here. Let me apply to here. I applied to here. What's next, God? Oh, I got accepted. Okay, and you go there. So God arranges all of our lives, even in terms of, employment and any aspect of our life. God is arranging it for us. We just have to learn to let go and to submit to him. So the first, we submit our life by prayer or through prayer. The second is to trust in his guidance and divine providence. If you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph learned from when he was in the bottom of the well to put his life in God's hands. That was a lesson he learned from the bottom of the well. You know, my brothers threw me in here, and I have nowhere else to go but you. Lord, thy will be done. And he let his life go. And from this moment, his life went, whether he was in the prison in Potiphar's house or the second in command in Egypt, he just sat there and offered his life to God and said, do as you like with me. I'm just a tool in your hand. So we must pray, first of all, and second, we must trust in his divine guidance and providence. The third way we submit our lives to God is to remember God's work with us before. Many times God does things in our life, and at the time or after we see God's hand and everything, we're like, oh, glory be to God. Thank you so much for doing such and such for me. I owe you my whole life, yada, 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 everything. And then the next problem that comes, we forget everything that he's done with us before. So we have a case of amnesia when it comes to remembering what God has done with us. But when it comes to the things that God did not do for us, we're very quick to remember and accuse him that he's not with us. So we have to remember that God, what God has done with us before. And God tells us that when we submit to God, we don't worry. We have no worries. Because he knows that enough worries in the day is all we can handle as human beings. We can't handle more worries than that. And that's why he says in Matthew 6, he says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So he says, just worry about the day that you're in. Where are you going to be tomorrow, the next day, the next place? Don't worry about. I remember one of the fathers told me once, I was telling him about some of the anxieties that I had. And he told them, two things that God always arranges. The first is the timing of things is always in God's hand. And the second is the place where things occur, or the place where you dwell, the place where you go. These are things that God directs. So the time and the place are things that we have to leave up to God, because he knows all and loves us. So what are some of the things that hinder us from submitting our lives to God? Why is it that we run into a roadblock when we say, okay, God, I want to submit my life to you? The first is our pride. In Proverbs it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is in Proverbs 16. Oftentimes we do not reach our full potential because we don't submit to God. We have a certain potential, but it's not met to its fullest until we submit it in God's hands. If you take a piece of rock and, you say, okay, I want this rock to become a sculpture of Michelangelo or a sculpture of David or whatever it might be. The only way that this rock can become a sculpture is if he puts it in the hand of the person who is doing the sculpting. If we keep it in our own hands or leave it on the ground and just say, become the Michelangelo or become David, it won't happen. So we have to put our life into God's hand so he can shape it and form it as he likes. And then when it's finished, it'll be something, a piece that everybody will look at and glorify God for his work in us. The second is what hinders us to submit our lives to God is fear of the future, being scared of what's going to happen in the future. If we look at King Saul, this issue of fear of the future plagued him as well. He was going, wanting to, the Philistines were surrounding him and they were going to fight him, more than 30,000 men. So he got scared. And Samuel told him, wait 7 days, and then when I come, I'll offer a sacrifice and tell you what God wants you to do. So he waited. He waited very anxiously and impatiently. And on the seventh day, maybe the morning of the seventh day, he couldn't even wait till the evening. The morning of the seventh day, he came and said, where's Samuel? He's not here. Okay, let me take the sacrifice and ask God what we should do. And he did that. And the Bible records for us what happened after that. It says, this is Saul's reply. So right when he came, right after he offered the sacrifice, immediately afterwards, Samuel came and told him, you know, what'd you do? You couldn't wait for me until I came as I instructed you. Why were you eager about the future? Why were you scared about the future? You know, didn't I tell you I was going to come and offer the sacrifice? And this is what Saul's reply was. He says, when I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered the burnt offering. So because of his fear, he said he felt compelled to do it, offer the burnt offering. And you look at it, you say, okay, maybe this looks good because, you know, at least he's seeking, you know, God's help. But he wasn't seeking it. He was just seeking it just to fulfill, because he wanted an answer, because he couldn't wait. And he said to him, he couldn't wait for God's timing to go to war. So he just wanted to go and an answer immediately. So he was anxious about the future and what it holds. And sometimes with us, we might do the same thing. In an economy as we have today that is struggling, and many people are maybe out of jobs or in between jobs, we might say, you know, that, you know, I can't afford to offer a tithe to the church, or I can't afford to give to the needy, or I can't afford to do this and that in a giving manner because of the economy that we're in. But my beloved brothers and sisters, God sees all of this, and maybe he allows us to go through these things so he can teach us to let go and to submit to him. The final reason that might hinder us from submitting our life to God is the busyness of the world. It says in the book of Haggai, it says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and listen to what he tells them. He says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat and do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages and put it into a bag with holes. So as if, yani, when we're busy with our life, as if we're too busy to think about God, and all our efforts are going into this bag with holes, and it just comes and falls on the earth. And then he says later in that same chapter, in chapter 1, he says, you looked for much, and indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs in his own house. So he says, the reason why all this you're running in vain, basically, is because you left God's house and you're building your own houses. You're busy in your own houses. Now, I'm not speaking about the church and your home per se. I'm speaking metaphorically. The houses that we're running to is our ego. We're doing things for ourselves. We do things for our own pleasure, for, you know, saving up for this, saving up for some material things. And we're, all our efforts are attributed to things that are passing away. But the house that God really cares about is the house that is within our hearts, and the hearts that is within us, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that we receive on the day that we are baptized. This house is the house that God is concerned about, and He wants us to build. And lastly, the fruits that we get from submitting our life to God. The first is we live in faith. It says in Psalms, many times they have warred against me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Why? Because I submitted my life to God. And if I submit my life to God, I have faith that He's going to take care of everything. And this is just the way I'm going to live my life, regardless of external circumstances. And also we live without fear. If we're submitting and understand that God's controlling everything, we have no worries about what's going to happen in the future. And this is exactly what happened with St. Peter. It says in Acts 12, Herod, he was about to bring him out the next day to kill him. And it says in Acts chapter 12 that St. Peter was asleep before the night before he was killed. And imagine if any of us were in this situation. We would be up, we would probably, you know, try to make a few phone calls, write letters and this and that, make sure everything, all our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed before the day where we'll be killed. But St. Peter was asleep, had no worries, nothing at all, had no worries. So this is the benefit when we submit our life to God. And lastly, we fulfill God's work in us. We participate in God's work. And if we look at the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle, and how God arranged everything in his life. It cost St. Stephen death, but he submitted to God. It cost Ananias to go, you know, over what, or to go over what he thought was logic, because he heard that St. Paul was persecuting the church. But he overcame that and said, God, your will be done. I'm going to submit my life to God. If you want me to preach him and baptize him, so be it. I'm scared of him. He might come in my house and kill me and my family, but God, thy will be done. So through God's divine providence and his foreknowledge and his love for us, he arranges our life if we just submit to him. May God allow us and grant us the ability to submit our life to him and to put our life in his hands, so that he may form us and fulfill his work in us and in the world according to his divine plan and mercy. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.